Okay, and it is 12:30 here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in lovely, adorable Port Townsend, and on a beautiful January day here. And I am joined here for Bureaucracy Now! By Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. And John, are you there?
Taylor, I am as here as I'll ever be, and only remiss that I am inside on a day like today.
Well, I'll be outside later. So you've got two big windows there behind you. And
that's true. I'm definitely not complaining. It's lovely to see the sunshine. And there's a little bit on the screen here, too. We've got a couple of exciting guests to be with us today. Taylor, are you excited?
I am. And it says Pamela, but I think it's Pamela Martinez. Is that correct? John,
you want to? That is one of our guests.
Will you introduce
me? Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And
go ahead, Taylor.
I was going to say, we also have a second guest. We have Ellen, and this is the first time I've seen your whole name, Michael Caldwell. Did I get that right?
And yep, my name is Ellen Michael, and my last name is Caldwell.
Caldwell, thank Ellen you. Michael, and it's nice to have you with us, and you're joining us from Olympic Pride, correct?
I am indeed. I'm proud to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And thanks for scrambling around at the last minute. I know we just sent you the email moments ago. And you're going to talk today about, you're going to tell us about an event you have coming up. I think it's on the 25th.
Yes, it is. I'm here to promote our Sound of Pride event that is coming up on June 25th, which is next Saturday, from 10 until 4 p.m. at Boat Marine Park. So we're going to be having a big celebration, and we're inviting everyone in our community to attend.
And tell me a little more about what you're doing at this event.
We have a fantastic MC. Her name is Katrina Duall. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she does some of the shows, the drag shows at the castle.
Downtown. I'd heard that. I have not seen one, but I've heard that, and I was intrigued by her taking the MC role for the. And again, what is the name of your event?
It's Sound of Pride 2022.
Okay, and is there a cost associated with this, or?
No, it's absolutely free to everyone, and it is, all day Saturday, so lots of time to attend, and we'll have ASL interpreters at the main stage for accessibility, and we're going to have lots of vendors out. We'll have some food vendors, and we'll have informational booths and tables, and we're also going to have some crafts, a lot of fun events for kids. And we'll be there talking about our organization and how we serve the community, as well as our youth programming. They will have their own presence so that they can engage with youth.
Oh, this sounds great. Will there be a band?
There will be a DJ. We have DJ Magic Marker, who is local to our community. Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll have several performances throughout the day. We're going to have Deloria will open our performances, and then we're going to have Kim Archer, who is a musician, and then we'll have the Cabin Project in the afternoon, and Kilsip will close us out. And punctuated in there, there'll be a mini drag review where Katrina and some of her peers will come and give us a taste of what the drag show at the castle that evening is going to be like.
Okay, well, that sounds really good. John?
Oh, Ellen, Michael, I just want to say, not only have I always enjoyed time with you and Olympic Pride, but I am devastated to be out of state that day. And so I'm so grateful for the invitation, but I'm also really glad that City Council is going to, represent the city there. And I can't wait to hear the update. I wish you nothing but a wonderful, inclusive celebration of our identity as a community. And, to all those members of the city staff who identify as part of the LGBTQ community, this isn't just for, for us, or for them. I mean, this is for everybody. So I'm really honored to have you have a few words here today and to really get people out, because it's an event for everybody.
It really is. We want to engage everyone, because we are really here to celebrate all of us.
I was going to say, it sounds like this is an opportunity to really to kind of mix things up a little bit. Anybody can come down, enjoy the day, enjoy the vendors, enjoy the food, enjoy the show. It sounds like a good time.
Guaranteed rainbows on that day, too. I think it's going to be sunny with a light chance of showers. That's my prediction.
There's guaranteed rainbows.
I love it, Ellen Michael. It's so good to see you.
Okay. Ellen Michael, thank you for joining us. I think and I encourage people to attend this event. And I think we should move on, John, to
yeah.
talking to Pamela Martinez about staffing. And again, thank you, Ellen Michael, for finding out on short notice and joining us here. Very, very on top of things you were.
Indeed.
Okay.
It's not a really hard transition to talk about staff, inclusivity, organizational culture, people and performance. Why listen to me do that? We have a professional who's a director level, director of people and performance for the city of Port Townsend, our very first, and actually the first time we've elevated the HR director function to a director level, because I firmly believe, and I remember saying this to Pamela when I was trying to recruit her here, that it is that important, investing in our staff, recruitment, retention, organizational culture means a lot to me to run a successful city, to meet our community's needs. And I had no idea what was about to hit us, continually with the great resignation and kind of historic challenges across all organizations in this realm right now. So in a way, it's like, wow, just in time, we're able to find somebody as talented as Pamela. And Pamela, welcome to the conversation.
And welcome
thank
to
you,
the
John. I appreciate that.
And welcome to the city.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that as well.
Go
ahead.
Are you new to Port Townsend?
Well, so I am, in that I've worked for the city. Let's see, I joined the city of Port Townsend, I think coming up on 8 months ago. Mm-hmm. I live in Squim currently, so I'm commuting into the city of Port Townsend right now. So yeah, getting to know the city more and more every day. And I'm liking all the things that I'm learning and the people that I'm meeting. So it's been a really good experience so far.
And John, you mentioned the great resignation. I know that's a sort of a cultural, national phenomenon. But I also know that you've had some turnover on city staff in many cases because people have reached sort of the end of their careers and are retiring.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it's also I wish we could say we're so isolated that we're isolated from all the challenges and problems of the world. But everyone listening will know that's not completely true, although maybe slightly psychologically, we are able to be a little different and have a little bit of a magic that very few others have here. We are definitely not untouched by that phenomenon. And Pamela, when she was at City Council not too long ago, really put this really well. So maybe I'll just turn it over to Pamela for just a better answer to Taylor's question than I can provide, and maybe unpack what the Great Resignation means for the city team and not just in retirements.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So really right now what we're seeing is state and local governments are facing acute challenges when it comes to recruiting. And we're seeing that especially in regards to skilled trades, engineering, and public safety. Part of what's driving that is what you've just mentioned, which is this great resignation. I think we knew that that was coming, but I think the pandemic has triggered a higher rate of retirement among state and local workforce. And that's being felt everywhere, not only here in Port Townsend, but we are feeling and experiencing some of that. I've been in HR for a long time. I've seen recruiting challenges come and go, but I have to say I've never seen anything quite like what we're facing today. Unemployment's 3.6%. That's the lowest unemployment we've seen since 1968. So you take low unemployment, you throw in the pandemic, you throw in the great resignation, folks are looking to work in a new way. Mm-hmm. Coming out of the pandemic, and then you see this host of this increase in retirement, and it's a little bit of the perfect storm.
This is people who are sort of taking stock of their life, and COVID has given them a chance to not go into the office every day, and then they're sort of saying, well, what's important to me? That kind of that
absolutely.
And in some cases that drives retirement, but in other cases it may just drive somebody to want to move to something new that you know maybe they would have stayed where they were, but now they're going to try something different. But because it seems like you know that on one hand you know there's less. It's this 3%, you know, it's like, I'm just not sure I believe that number, you know, it's just because I, you know, it's like, I'm sure there's people who aren't included in that who are saying, you know, I'd like to work, but that in some ways it can be driven by people leaving the workforce and then the unemployment rate is low. But
we've talked about it before though, Taylor, it's like the number definitely question everything you hear.
Yeah.
The trend though, if you're measuring it the same way, is a little bit scary. So I think even if the number is off by like, you know, 5%,
right. Okay.
You know, it's come down and that's a good story in some ways, right? Like we're not trying to keep unemployment high just because it gets us a better raft of candidates. It's actually a good thing. But the real impact, as Pamela is saying, is that it affects our ability to draw on candidates, especially with things like, you know, inflation and employers trying to catch up to, you know, a consumer price index on the rise and, you know, other communities that are battling for talent. And we are no different there.
Well, I realize we'd be competing with those communities, but it seems to me that perhaps we would have candidates, you know, we have people who are actually who have taken stock of their lives and they know what they want, and we can now try to meet that need within the city government, and we could end up with more motivated people in the end that are excited about what they're doing and doing better work.
Yeah, I mean that's why Pamela's here. If I could, I don't want to speak for you, Pamela, but like, I'm looking for great talent myself. Mm-hmm. And now I have somebody whose profession it is to help me do that better. Luckily, I have her, because this is such an important thing for us to build a capable, competent, you know, connected team that serves our community, works in partnership with our community. You know, that's just essential. And if you've got people who are placeholders or bench warmers, or, I mean, that's just not good enough. You know, I mean, I took stock of my life and I realized working for an organization of 10,000 wasn't exactly my gig. So that's partly why I'm here, but you know, I've still got a lot of juice in me. And I think that's an expectation the community should have of all staff.
Yep. Agreed. I mean, we are seeing the great resignation. We are seeing people retiring. And I think a lot of that is being driven by the fact that folks are taking stock of their lives. You know, what's important to people 2 years ago might not be the same today. And we are seeing a lot of people who want to take a step back. They're interested in working for smaller organizations or working for the city. They're interested in having more of a work-life balance. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to a lot of people who are interested in doing work that's meaningful, mm-hmm. right? And giving back to communities and being involved in the community and being able to participate in things that are important to them. And so what it is it's finding the right talent at the right time for the right roles, understanding what's driving and motivating people and then meeting them where they are. Mm-hmm. And that's how you're going to find good talent and bring them into the city.
Is the city, how do you sell the city? I mean, because I realize what John is building. John is really building a new, fresh, dynamic organization that that we had the same city manager for 20 years. We now have a new city manager. It's a new sheriff in town in some ways. But it seems like there ought to be a story that you can tell. And I guess my question is, I'm a candidate. What's that story? How do you pitch this?
Go ahead.
You go first, Pamela. Because I think, you know, we play a little bit of a tag team on this one, Pamela. So you go ahead.
That's really what I was going to say. You know, I say I bring in the talent and I start the discussion and John closes, you know, and that's kind of how we're doing it. But a lot of it is, and again, it's understanding what's driving the person. So that story is different sometimes depending on what it is that motivates them. But selling the opportunity, where it's an exciting time with the city, with John coming in, we've got some new people in leadership. Mm-hmm. And so there's a story there to be told. The community itself is amazing. You know, you live where people want a vacation. And if somebody's looking to leave a major city and they want to be part of a smaller community, you absolutely have to touch on that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important, too, that they understand that it's an involved and engaged community. you know, and if you're going to come in and you want to give back and you want to provide, you know, if it's service over self, having an engaged community is really important. And we have that. And so I think that's a big part of that story too. And then I guess the last piece I would add is, depending on the department, you want to talk about what are they doing? You know, what projects are they working on and how are they adding value within the community? And what exciting things do they have going on within the team that would be exciting for somebody else and would make them want to be a part of that team and the city and the community as a whole?
Yeah, that's great. You can see why that's such a good allure.
That is, it is.
And then when I try to close, at least with, you know, director level or senior manager candidates, you know, I'm a pretty eyes wide open guy. And I'm, you know, in some ways, I want to make sure we're attracting the right kind of person, not just someone who's talented, because if the fit doesn't work out, it's bad for everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could be the best at the job, but actually not understand what our community is about or what their, you know, what our challenges are or what the team's challenges are. And I mean, I'll be pretty clear. We've got challenges here, right? So I think that eyes wide open honesty and transparency is super important to me. And I also think we're on a journey as both a city organization and as a community of finding a different dynamic. So, you know, I'm not pretending we are that perfect organization that is the best place to work anywhere, but I aspire for us to be that. You know, when I sit around the table yesterday with department directors talking about what we want to do in 2023 and how we work with council to get, you know, the main themes across to them. And I mean, it's so fun for me to be engaged in a team where no one's afraid to speak up. No one's afraid of a bad idea. You know, we're all speaking our truth and we're iterating in a way where it's far greater than one person's brain or one person's perspective. I mean, I feel like the culture of an organization needs to be that kind of dynamism. Otherwise, you know, I don't want to be a place where people work and say, tell me what to do. That's not getting the best out of anybody in a job.
It's not really harnessing their smarts. Yeah.
And everybody, I mean, there's leadership at every single level of this organization.
I was so struck with, you know, as you started to talk about, you know, the fit, I thought that you were going to talk about, you know, really bringing somebody in who had a good fit with the organization. And I am so interested that what you talked about first was fit with the community. And then you talked about the fit within the organization, that they have to do both, that this is city government. This city government exists not in a vacuum, but it exists within a community of electeds, of volunteers, of citizen boards, of other organizations, and that you really work within this sort of broader milieu of
yeah, it's not for everybody, but let me just be honest. Like, I love this place. You know, I came here deliberately, you know, and had other opportunities and chose Port Townsend. And some of the people who did not put their hat in the ring for that job that I now know said, that made me run the other direction because that's not what somebody's up for, you know? Yeah. And so there's a fit to the energy. Now, is it easy? Well, no, I mean, not for me, but I, you know, Pam didn't come here to kind of cruise, right? Like, you know, Emma Boland, who starts with us as our new planning director on Monday from next, she's not coming here to just, you know, kind of kick back here. I mean, there's a clear understanding of the challenges and working with our community is one of those things we've got to get right, you know, because it sometimes when it doesn't feel right at the other end, sometimes in the discussion or the debate or the dialogue, you know, people have different opinions. That's great. But the energy on the other side, when we come to conclusion, needs to feel like we're building trust and building community.
Right.
I'll be honest, it doesn't always feel like that. And so I take a real, you know, hard look at that as a core responsibility of a city to work in partnership to adjust that narrative and adjust that dynamic.
I think we
learn. So we're all pulling the same direction.
Yeah, it's about learning as we go here. And you know, you win a few, you lose a few, you make some mistakes, and then you fall back and go, you know, maybe we could do this better. And
sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I was going to ask Pamela about what the current openings are, but I think it might be more appropriate to talk about, you know, since you started, who have you brought in? You don't need to name names, but maybe just positions because I think it'd be interesting to give people a sort of a view of how the organization is changing.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking. We've had a variety of positions and new hires. I think, you know, we're at 20 plus new hires.
Wow.
So even with what we're facing, we've had quite a bit of hiring take place. And that's within the city and also within the police department. So we've seen a lot of really, really successful hires and great people joining the team. And it's everything from, as I mentioned, the police department to, you know, the finance team. We have a couple of new hires there. We've got new hires within the leadership team and parks and just kind of across the board. We've got some new folks joining in the parks team. So we have a new manager there. So it's really just been across the board.
And are people settling in well? Does the city, I guess maybe the question should be, what kind of onboarding process is there?
So that's a good question, because we have an onboarding process, but it's not what it could be. And so as the leadership team has met, you know, John mentioned we met yesterday, we meet twice a week and we talk about a variety of things, and onboarding has been a topic that's been front of mind for all of us. So I can tell you that it's a little bit hit or miss right now, if I'm being honest. You know, there's good communication and contact with candidates and employees after the offer's gone out. That continues. You know, we have a day one, but we think there's a lot of opportunity to do more than what we're doing today. We do have immersion plans, so it's not just bringing people in and then, you know, setting them up to fail. It's making sure they understand city and understand the city and the community and get to know their coworkers and their peers and the leadership team. And then it's understanding, you know, what are they looking for in terms of development and how can we support them? And then also making sure that we're setting really clear expectations throughout the entire process around what we're looking for. And you know, more often than not, those things align. And it's just spending the time with them that they need to make sure that we're setting them up for success.
One of the things too, Taylor, that I've been really, I thought I'd do almost immediately after I kind of caught my breath and understood the community a bit, was to get the team together. And then we were in a pandemic. And so I was always like, gosh, when are we actually going to break down some of the just long held silos between teams? And, you know, we're only 100 people. We should all know each other. Mm-hmm. And one of the things Pamela's championed in her short time is ways to appreciate the people who have worked here, whether it be 3 days, 3 months, or 30 years.
Actually, and that was,
how do we get people together? And we had this great, you know, staff appreciation lunch again just this past week, where we got people together to say, hey, thanks. And Mayor Faber came out and said, thank you. You do hard work. It's appreciated. And I'm not saying that makes us suddenly a perfect organization to work for and everyone's happy, but those are the kinds of things we need to do more than onboarding. We need to build a culture of camaraderie, of togetherness, of fun. That'll feed the work.
And I was going to ask a similar question. Is that we've been focusing on new candidates coming in, but we also need to talk about supporting, nurturing, developing the talent that we have in-house already, and make sure those people find their jobs fulfilling, feel that they have a way to progress. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're talking about there, is really focusing on that, in addition to just how do we bring new people in.
And people are people, right? So I you know, just to, in the spirit of trying to be as transparent as I can on this show, you know, Pamela is thinking strategic direction and thinking about how to unlock our, you know, people and performance and our capability as an organization. At the same time, yeah, people are people. You know, she gets a knock on the door very frequently saying, I've got this critical issue I need to deal with, you know, and I need somebody I trust to be able to work it through. And I, you know, I don't know what the numbers are like there, but that's a part of Pamela's job that is unpredictable, but critical, because she plays a key role at balancing some of that stuff out, giving people better direction, giving people training, or intervening in challenges. You know, it's a hugely difficult skill set that she wields to be successful.
Do you have a open door policy? Can employees come in and talk to you about things, or? Yeah, no, sometimes there's this feeling that, you know, that it's never good to talk to HR, you know, the minute you talk to HR, they're really to protect the company and not to help you out. And I worked for a company where we didn't call it HR, we called it organizational development. And it was to try and really say, hey, we're here also for you. What do you like about your job? What don't you like about your job? What could we do better? And so do you have much of that interaction with staff? Do they knock on your?
I do.
Yeah,
good. I do. You know, I've heard, you know, HR is the fun police, or HR is just here to keep us from doing the things we want to do.
Right.
You know, I've been in HR a long time. I've heard all of those things. But that's not the way that I approach my time with the city or with the staff and employees. So I have an open door policy. You don't need an appointment. You stop by anytime. You call me anytime. You send an email. You know, I'm there. If you just want somebody to listen to, great, let's do that. If you're looking for advice or direction, I'm happy to do that. If there's something you want me to take action on, then let's have a discussion around that. And what does that need to look like? I think that that's one of the strengths that I bring to the position. And I think that's one of the things that John and those that I interviewed with, I hope they saw that during the interview process. I am there to support and protect the city, but I'm equally as dedicated to the employees that we have in place today. We have some really, really talented employees who care a lot about the work that they do and take a lot of pride in the work they do. And I want to be there to support them and recognize them. And, you know, as you mentioned, engagement and retention is critical.
Yeah,
they go hand in hand. And when you have engagement, that equates to increased performance, which then, turns into retention. Mm-hmm. And it's a big win for everybody involved. I'm not needed if we don't have staff and if we don't have, the right people in the right roles. There's no need for me, you know, so it's what I do. And it's what I love about HR.
Well, that's kind of inspiring right there. That was soup to nuts part of this is what HR can do for us. John, I would say congratulations. This seems like Pamela is a Martinez, our director of people and performance. Good hire.
Oh, yeah.
Well done, John.
You're telling me she keeps me on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
You know?
And thank you both.
And yeah, thank you for joining us here in Port Townsend and commuting in from Squim. So, John, I think we're just about out of time. Is there anything you want to add? Or
no, I just thank you as always, Taylor. I'm out visiting family next week. So I believe we're pausing the show next Thursday, but we'll be back the following one.
We will be back the following Thursday. So, John, have a great time. And we will see you in 2 weeks on Bureaucracy Now.